One of the most brilliant minds of the 19th century was Hegel. And Hegel's concept of the dialectic was an extraordinary breakthrough in intellectual history. An amazingly simple idea, and yet no one had ever thought of it before. People understood the law of three, but they understood it mathematically and spatially, not temporally. But Hegel's breakthrough was to understand the principle of the unfoldment of history as dialectical. His philosophy of history was an extraordinary revelation of the inevitability of the dialectic culminating in the revelation of absolute spirit. But what he didn't get is that the dialectic is the equivalent of a waveform. Crest is thesis, the trough is the antithesis, and the next crest is the synthesis. And so the waveform is continually evolving dialectically. But the wave is itself a dialectical element that emerges from the particle. And so particle, thesis, wave, antithesis, field, synthesis. Now the dialectic is operating in this same way at every fractal level of infinite complexity. There's macro-dialectic and micro-dialectic, and dialectic that's happening in different ways at every level of your consciousness. And this dialectic functions as the unfoldment of the energies of your drives. Now, the ego drives are divergent. The soul's drives are convergent. This leads to an entirely different dialectical panorama, so that if one is in the ego, one will discover that every day there are more conflicts, more extreme differentials between what one drive wants and what another drive wants. Literally, the ego is tearing itself apart because of its extreme differential in its desires that are incompatible with one another. But within the dialectic of the ego, which can only explode, it cannot implode, there is no annihilating force, counterforce, that can oppose the chaos that increases exponentially as the drives receive the energies of the thirst for satisfaction that becomes ever more desperate as the ego loses its center and requires a kind of jouissance to stabilize itself. But each element of stability is contrary to the drive that needs stability of another sort, a contrary sort. And so those divergent drives are literally causing nervous breakdowns and inability to function, and attention deficit. So the dialectical movement is required from ego to soul because the soul's drives are convergent upon the self. The soul wants liberation from the chaos. But until one makes the shift from the thesis of ego to the antithesis of soul, one cannot even imagine the synthesis of the real self that resolves all problems at all levels, because the dialectic moves omnidirectionally from the zero point, and its drives increase in their power as they move outward, emanating in all directions from the self in a total cosmic explosion that is also the implosion into the singularity simultaneously. So the dialectic is operating both temporally and extratemporally. And one has to understand the drive, the dialectic, at the level of the phenomenal and the noumenal. Once one understands this, one is able to achieve the synthesis very easily. In the same way, one has to recognize it at every moment. Our three mantras are dialectically organized, but within each mantra, there's a dialectic. The Om, the Nama, and the Shivaya are a dialectical movement. And the same with the Om Shivo Hum, Om Tat Sat. There's a dialectical movement. Tesla saw it in the matter-energy transform of the 369. It's present everywhere. And once one masters that dialectical process and recognizes that it emerges ultimately from the supreme level of consciousness, then one gets the realization that the world is the product of the emanations of the energies that come from the center point. To the extent that you have achieved the absolute simplicity of the supreme selfhood that is our true nature, then the world becomes a perfectly, beautifully expressed mandala in which the emanations of all of those energies dialectically unfold in manifest waves of increasing beauty, increasing intelligence, increasing absolute resolution to all of the apparent problems that seemed to exist within a mind that was not centered in its absolute empowerment. And so all of the drives of all of the omnidirectional intentions of the dialectic at every level are seeking that zero point, but they can't find it because they come from it and they are emergent properties of it. And therefore, that final dialectic is not the ground of being, the search for the ultimate recognition and the fruit of the efforts, but the realization that the ground and the search are contained within the fruit, and the fruit is always already present here and now, because the dialectic of time itself, of past, present, future, culminates in the eternal present that is beyond the dialectic itself. So it's the beyond of the dialectic that reorganizes all the drives that are moving chaotically and brings them into the convergent center that enables them to flower again from that ultimate point of goodness, beauty, truth, love, and light. It is this realization that enables the instantaneous attainment of liberation that does not require an unfoldment through time, because time itself is an element of the dialectic, space, time, and the eternal present. Once one understands that, one is able to leapfrog past all of the intervening modulations of consciousness into its ultimate absorption into the Absolute. It is this window of opportunity that opens only at the very end of time, when all of those drives of the dialectic multiplied infinitely in all of the chaotic sentient beings of the world results in all of the vectors summing up to zero. And it's that moment now that is being approached that will open the portal of consciousness into liberation for every being whose convergent drives of the soul have led to a desperate yearning for that liberation. And it will be fulfilled when all other divergent intentionalities have been released. It's that one-pointedness for the zero point that blasts through the eye of the needle into the infinite. This realization can only happen when the ego's chaos is representing a thesis that one has overcome through the soul's antithetical movement back into oneness and the synthesis of the zero. So the question of who am I has to be answered at a vertical dimensional distinction. In the same way that the five sheaths are intricately interlaid within one another, the density of the anamaya kosha is within the much more expansive pranamaya kosha that is no longer a form that is rigidly linked to matter, but extends outward in its vibrational field. But the manomaya kosha contains that field and a field of understanding that is unlimited in space and time and includes all of history and all of the dimensions beyond the consciousness of the phenomenal plane. But that leads then to the vijnanamaya kosha and the archetypal consciousness that links the soul to the Atman. And it's only when one has gone through the anandamaya kosha that one recognizes that one has been in an ascending hourglass, and it is the ananda of the soul itself at that level that has to be overcome. It's the wrong bliss. It's the bliss at the level of the Sutratma, and so it will maintain an ongoing unfoldment within the wheel of life and death. But the breakthrough into Jagadananda, Paramananda, that breakthrough can only happen when one has recognized that one has outgrown the greatest joys that the ego mind can achieve. And at this point in the end of Kali Yuga, the only real moment of enjoyment for an ego is in deep sleep. The rest of the time it's in agony. And it's in that deep sleep that the anandamaya kosha becomes present, and there is a moment of rest. But even that deep sleep is disturbed now by dreams, by nightmares, by anxiety, symptoms that wake one up, that disturb one's ability even to rest at those moments when there is no functional necessity to keep moving. But the agitation that has built up that cannot be discharged from the ego because of its chaotic lack of a center, keeps it in a state of enslavement to that. But the breakthrough then into the Paramananda requires the complete release of the I thought as the artificial center of consciousness. It was this that Buddhism was created to achieve. There was a dialectic prior to the emergence of the Buddhist. You had the original yogis who were anarchists. The thesis, the antithesis was a priesthood and a book of Vedas and laws and rules, the laws of Manu and the Vedic Dharma. The yogis had nothing to do with that. And then the synthesis of the Vedanta, in which the Vedic priests gave way to the rishis and the munis, who again returned to the freedom, but the freedom now of the original yogis, supplemented by an understanding of the dialectical process of loss of freedom that they had to go through in order to then learn how it could be sustained through time. But then that got lost as the signified of the Atman was, disconnected from, as the signifiers of Atma slid to mean the ego, which required then the antithesis of Buddha saying, no, we have an Anatman doctrine. There is no Atma. And it was that became necessary to create a new paradigm shift in which the emptiness of the phenomenal plane was recognized, so that the desire of jouissance in the ego could be overcome by the realization that the ego's trishna, its thirst, is formed out of avidya, ignorance, and it does not lead to its being able to drink the water of life because it's chasing a mirage. And it is only the overcoming of the mirages of the ego mind that can lead again into the river of life, from which we can establish through bathing our baptismal saturation again in the Absolute Presence. It is that must now happen, not in the river, but in the ocean itself. There must be that final dissolving of consciousness of the particle and the wave into the oceanic field. And this can only happen through an absolute leaping beyond, not a crawling through, and not a waiting for, and not a hoping for or a wishing for, but an absolute drop into the abyss of total nothingness in order to find that absolute treasure of the infinite glory of God awaiting in the total hopelessness and annihilation of all that the ego mind had considered to be its treasury of attachments that gave it a sense of security. When all of that is gone and there is nothing to hold on to, it's at that moment that the Absolute appears. But if one can drop into that abyss voluntarily, then the glory of that discovery of the real can create a new mandala while the energies still are unexhausted, and the new presentation of a cycle of time as completely present here and now becomes realized as the emanation of consciousness itself, not a product that will have to evolve linearly along the wheel of life and death, but that because it is entirely here, one is also entirely transcendent of it. And it's this that is liberation. The entire presence of the phenomenal kalpa, space-time laid out in total presence and nirvana superposed upon it, but unaffected by it. It's that unification of the phenomenal and the noumenal that is the ultimate result of the dialectical process of self-realization. And every mind is going through the unfoldment of this logic in its own way, through its own catastrophic inability to understand, to think, to grok, and its own seduction and abduction by the drives that take it away from what it is actually looking for. Because there has to be the realization that one took a wrong turn and ended up in the desert of the real one when one was seeking real three. And it's only then that real two can open to love, when all has been lost, because otherwise the ego's defenses will never give in to the threat of love, which requires forgiveness, which requires the complete letting go of all of its thought forms, all of its sense of individuality and superiority, all of its desire for power, all of the drives that hold the ego in a signature of identity that will be dispersed by its own karmic undoing through its attempt to achieve its aim. But the real aim was not the aim of the ego, but the aim of the self to retrieve consciousness from the ego via the soul vehicle back into the singularity. It's this dialectical movement that is now unfolding by itself micro-dialectically in every mind, in every heart, and in every society, and in the planet as a whole, and even cosmically as a whole. It is this that once it is grasped in its essential form can be translated to its ultimate level of meaning, moreness, and all can be resolved at a single stroke. This is Jivan Mukti. This is what is available when one simply opens to the truth of one's being. May you have the attention that is required and the openness to receive what the ego mind cannot grasp and which requires its total surrender into the higher vehicle of the soul, which itself requires the complete absorption in the self in order to be able to appreciate the infinite glory of the mind of God and be free through the ultimate reverential face of God that cannot be seen and survived by any level of consciousness other than God itself. It's this return of Shakti to Shiva that is the final consummation of existence. May you give yourself the gift of going through the ordeal of ultimate bliss here and now, so that the mandala of all futures that you would ever wish to create attain their ultimate beauty in this moment, when the gift of God's beauty is being given for all future time, and for those who wish the timeless realization of the Godhead as one's locus of attention eternally. The gate is open. May you go through with joy. May you know the peace that comes of completely jettisoning the inadequate vehicle of the ego mind, so that the consciousness expands into real two, into the real of divine love and the blissful nature of reality itself as one's own emanation and expression returns its ricocheting energies a thousandfold in the expression of joy and fulfillment. And may you know the even higher level of peace that is the soul's surrender to the mind of God and the achievement of that ultimate realization of the infinity of consciousness in which learning never ends, and the infinite possibilities of creation lie open to the deployment of consciousness itself in the reconstruction of the cosmos as one's work of art. And may one know the supreme peace of the Godhead itself in its ultimate self-realization that is inconceivable except to that consciousness that has returned in total unity to know the ultimate bliss of the unattainable. Which is the self. Namaste.